Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. It's good to be here today. Amen. And see all your faces. And it's just a joy. It's a joy to come home, you know. It's always good to go away, but it's always good to go home. How many of you know that's true? Yeah, well, this is home, and I want you to know we love you, we appreciate you, appreciate not only praying for us, supporting us, you know, the Johnstons are they're away now for 2 weeks, and Judy and I got the whole house to ourselves. And I told them, I says, oh, you're going away for 2 weeks, we are going to party down in this house. So I'm standing up here saying, church, just show up over at the house. And then we'll just let happens whatever happens. See if there's anything left when they get back. Praise God. Well, let's see. How much time do I have this morning? Now, don't. What time do you normally get out? Depends on who's speaking, huh? All right. Well, we'll try and have you out by 2:30, and everybody. And everybody said,
amen.
No, you didn't. Come on now. All right. Why don't you open your Bible, if you would please, to Exodus chapter 30. I want to share with you on the subject of the anointing. And this is going to be a two-part message. I'm going to speak on out of the Old Testament on the anointing, and then next Sunday we'll have the New Testament, and trust that we'll get through both of them, all right? And Psalms 92:10 says, be anointed with fresh oil. I don't know about you, but I need a touch of the fresh oil. I need God to touch me. I need the Spirit of God to touch me with the freshness of His Spirit. And this morning, as I was just standing here worshiping, I was in the river this morning. And the river was flowing. And I just felt just a fresh quickening of the Spirit of God in our worship this morning. How many of you sensed that this morning? You felt that? I just sensed it. Appreciate those leading worship and leading and singing the songs we sang and worshiping the Lord. All right, let's see. Exodus chapter 30. I'm going to begin in verse 22. This is after God has spoken to Moses now and said, you know, we're going to take an offering from the people and the word of what it says there, and make me a sanctuary, and he's going to come and speak to them, dwell among them. They out of the offering, they took and built the tabernacle and all the furniture and everything that was involved in it. Then the priest's garments, they built the priest's garments, sewed garments together for their beauty and their glory. And in the process of all this, there's some more that God was having Moses do. And in verse 22, the Lord speaks to Moses and says to him, but thou also unto thee take principal spices, pure myrrh, 500 shekels, of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels. Verse 24, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and after the shekel of a sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And then verse 25, and thou shalt make it an oil, a holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. So now they've got garments made. They've got, you know, the different pieces of furniture. Now he's addressing and bringing together and saying, listen, we're going to build a holy anointing oil. And in verse 26, he says, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, all his vessels, the candlestick, his vessels, altar of incense. Verse 28. Altar of burnt offering, all his vessels, the laver and his foot. Thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. And then he says, whosoever touches them shall be holy. Verse 30, "And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It's holy, and it shall be holy unto you." And then he says, "Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people." Okay? And I'll just make a statement here in getting started. He says here, basically, it wasn't to be poured upon the stranger. The anointing oil was for the people of God. The anointing is for us, the Church of Jesus Christ. The anointing is for each one of us to be a partaker of. It's something that God has reserved for us, okay? And there's many purposes for the anointing that God has given, and we're going to look at some of those things and talk about some of those things and understand it, because there's, you know, God doesn't do anything without purpose. Can you say amen to that this morning? God doesn't do anything without purpose, and God equips us, and God does many things in our hearts and in our lives. And so when we look at this portion of Scripture in the Old Testament, we're going to find that he makes a holy anointing, and he starts with principal spices, okay? Four spices and oil. The only symbol out of this compound or this formula that is actually a symbol for the Holy Spirit or the anointing is oil. 1 Corinthians, a little bit tired today. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, you'll find that Samuel is sent to the house of Jesse, and he says, there you're going to anoint a king over Israel. He had previously anointed Saul. Saul had lost it, and so now God was going to anoint another king. And so he comes to the house of Jesse, and he goes through all of his sons, and of course, as you know, they didn't find the... Oh, that's excellent. Thank you. And he says, is this all you got here? He says, no, I got one young guy. He's out taking care of the sheep. Well, get him in here. We need to see him. So he comes in, and what does he do? He takes his horn of oil. He takes the cap off, pours the oil upon him. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. So we connect the anointing with the Spirit of God, okay? The Holy Spirit and the anointing, those two thoughts, they go together. And when we think about the anointing, we think about the Holy Spirit, okay? But when we look at this in verse 23, he talks about fine spices. He talks about myrrh. He talks about cinnamon in verse 23. He talks about cassia, verse 24. And he talks about oil. Oil is really the only symbol there that is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. So now, what's he talking about here? I want to give you some thoughts here this morning about this. When you look in the New Testament and the Old Testament, and when we begin to look at the anointing, and we begin to look at some of the definition of these two words, there is some difference, okay? And when you come to the Old Testament, what you have is symbols and types, and then you come into the New Testament and you have the fulfillments of those things and the literal things that we partake of. But when it comes to the Old Testament in these things, he's given us a formula here, and we'll talk about this formula and this compound that's put together, and we'll see why it's done there. God, in his divine providence, in his anointing, in his abilities that he gives us, and his grace that he gives us, he works on two sides. He works on your character, and he works on the person that you are, and then he also, on the other side, he works in on you and in the ministry and the anointing he gives you to minister. Have you ever seen someone who is greatly gifted but that does not have the character to go with it? You understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, there's a balance here. There's a balance. So when we look in the Old Testament, we're gonna look at this whole character idea of anointing. And then when we get into the New Testament, we'll look at the power of God. We'll look at the ministry of God that flows through our life. and then we'll combine those two together. When David was anointed, he was about 10 years of age, okay? He was anointed king. I don't think I would want to be anointed king at the age of 10 and be expected to rule. Would anybody agree with me? I think that might be a little bit over my head. But really, when you read the life of David, you'll find that he had three different anointings. Samuel anoints him in the midst of his brothers, in the midst of his brethren. And a period of time goes by, and then you'll find that the tribe of Judah anoints him. The men of Judah come, and they anoint him a second time. And then he is now over a tribe of people. And the third anointing, the elders of Israel come together. The nation is brought together. There's a third anointing that came to him. And that third anointing, basically, what it did for David, it gave him the ability to organize a nation, organize a people, bring them together, and send them forward in the purposes of God. But the first anointing that I find that involved in David's life, I call it, it's the anointing of preparation. Because David went through 40 tests before he was anointed the second time. Okay? 40 tests. And you look at Jesus when he was water baptized, you'll find that he comes up out of the water. The Spirit of God, John the Baptist says, I saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And the very next chapter in Matthew chapter 3, you'll find that the Spirit of God, then what did he do? He drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So you'll find that part of this anointing we're going to talk about is developing our character. It's for the purpose of you going through tests. This one thing I do, I know that he works how much out of the situations that you go through. He works good out of all the things that you're going to go through. And if you don't have that mindset, when you go through things, you go through grumbling, complaining, and you say, God, where are you? What's happening? And get out of here. I don't want any more of this. Has anyone ever said anything like that? No, you're Christians in New Life. That's why you're here. Everybody's perfect, and you never have these challenges, or you never have these problems. That's why I'm here. I like it here. I'm safe now, okay? All right. But you see, so there's a process that he goes through. All right, let's look at our Bible here, and let's look at some of these things. First of all, he says they're fine spices. When you look at the word spices, these different spices are collected different ways. Sometimes a tree would have little slits put in it so that the sap would run out and it would dry, and they would take that off of the tree and they would that was a spice that would be used. There's other things that had berries. There's all kinds of things. They had to be crushed. They had to be processed until they were taken to a fine powder. Then what you have is these combination that God brings together are all fine powders and some oil. Now, when I look at that, just follow with me. When I look at that, when I read Psalms 133, I'm giving you a lot of scripture. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to what? Dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment that ran down upon the beard, okay? When I look at these fine spices and this oil, there's 56 pounds of goo. It would be like, how many of you as kids ever played in the water and you took dirt and you made mud pies? Anybody make mud pies? What was your flavor of mud pie? How many of you ate your mud pies? You know? Okay, it's like mud pies, you know, it's like a goo. But when you read the scripture, it says the anointing oil ran down the beard, okay? And so when it comes to the apothecary, in other words, there was a process that all of these things went through to make a fine, sweet-smelling anointing oil that was poured on the recipient, okay? And you can go down to your Bible bookstore and you can buy your little bottle of anointing oil. How many of you have seen it? Or how many of you got one in your purse? And they say, well, this is exactly, you know, it's a nice duplicate of what they did in the Old Testament. I say they still haven't figured it out. And they're not going to figure it out. You know why? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's why. It's one of those secrets of God, bringing it together. How they did it, I don't know. I'm not even going to guess. All I know is the Bible says it ran down. I believe it. All right, so he says fine spices, and then he says myrrh. I'm going to take these spices and give you a few definitions of some of this so that we understand some things. There's things that we go through. I don't know about you, but there are things I've gone through in life that I have not understood. I haven't understood them. And when I haven't understood them, I honestly can say I haven't responded correctly. When you don't understand something, I don't know about you, but I go sideways just a little bit. That's why I have a wife. She straightens me right up. All right? And so understanding these things will help us to understand what God is doing in our life and the purpose of it. All right? So myrrh. Myrrh means to distill in drops. It means bitter. So part of this equation is that there is bitterness involved with it. What's it talking about? It's talking about your bitter experiences. Anyone here ever gone through a bitter experience? If you are a human being and been on the planet for any time at all, you've had bitter experiences. And in your bitter experiences that you have, when you are going through it, there is a process that you're going through. In your bitter experience, how many of you have applied 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that says, in everything, grumble and complain? Has anyone ever done that? I'm so glad I'm here because, you know, you're all right. You see? No, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In the processes, like the bitter experiences we go through, they seem like they will never come to an end. And for your experience, it's something that is really touches you. I can watch you going through it, but thank God I can't experience it because I have enough of my own. I pray for you and encourage you, and you do the same for me. But that experience, amen, is to do something in your life. It's to change you. And the way that we are to respond to these things is that these things are mixed with other things, and they're to be come out of our life as sweetness, as sweet things. I've come across people who have not faced life very positively. Their language is every time they talk, they're pouring out bitterness. Half of them are swearing. The other thing is, you know, they're grumbling and complaining, and life is not worth living, and I just want out of here. How many of you know people like that? Why is that? It's because, you see, the life experience that they're going through, they go through it, but they don't let it work in them, and they don't take their attitudes and adjust their attitude and let it come out of them to be sweet. I love being around old people. I'm not old, by the way. I'm just a young guy. I love being around people who have walked with God 50, 60, 70 years old, and they're sweet. What comes out of their life is just, it's lovely. It builds me up. It encourages me. Oh, Dean, you know, all these things that we've gone through, we went without this, and we didn't have clothes, and we didn't have this, but thanks be to God, He gave us victory in it. And you know what? God is good in it. And their attitude was didn't give in to the hardness, did not give in to the circumstance. They took their attitude, and they took it to the Word of God and said, I will respond correctly. I will respond correctly. That is a deliberate choice on all of our parts. How many of you love to get up early in the morning? That's another reason I like to be here. I like to get up early in the morning too. I haven't been to bed for 2 days. God's good, isn't He? Come on, God's good. Amen. When you face your challenges, face it with an attitude of being positive. Let it work in you. Let it work in you.
let it work in you because it will change you. I don't want to, the next time you see me, I don't want to be the same. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want God to do something different in me. I want Him to enlarge me. The only way that happens is you go through the process. And everybody said?
Amen.
All right. So, the bitter experiences. And, you know, in the scripture now, he says you get bitter experiences, you get 500 shekels worth. So, you're going to get a lot of it. So, hang on to your seat, all right? If you're writing notes here this morning, you can write Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 to 27. Exodus 15, 22 to 27. This was when the children of Israel basically were traveling, and they came to water, and they couldn't drink it because it was bitter. And in that water that God showed Moses, you throw in this stick, and it will change the water, and it will, when it changes the water, it will become sweet, and you will be able to drink it. That stick that he's really talking about is the cross. Throw the cross of Christ into your circumstances, and when you do that, things become sweet, all right? Amen. All right, the second thing that we find here, he says, half as much now, 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon. Fragrant cinnamon. It's to smell sweet, okay? It's talking about sacrifices and the goodness of God. Sacrifices and the goodness of God. I'm not going to take the time to go through mountains of this stuff. Just kind of give you the main points here. Write down Philippians 3:11. 3:11 through 18, I believe it is. Let's open our Bibles and read that. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. That's not the one I'm looking for. Basically, the scripture that I'm talking about, basically Paul, they were looking after Paul and they were sacrificing things to take care of him. And Paul says that was a sweet smell, a sweet savor of sacrifice that they were taking care of him. All right, here we go. Let's look at chapter 4, verse 18. 4, verse 18, he says, "But I have all and abounded. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Okay? A sacrifice well-pleasing to God. And so when we're talking about fragrant cinnamon, it means to smell sweet. And in the New Testament, he's talking about a sweet smell, a sacrifice. Now, we're going to take sacrifice, and we're going to take sweet smell, and we're going to combine these two things. I don't know about you, but there's times when God has used others to meet my need. They've met my need. The other day, we were getting ready to go somewhere. We needed some money. A man came to my door, knocked on the door. He couldn't speak English. He just simply dug in his pocket, peeled out $100 bills, and he gave them to me, and he walked away. To that man, that was a sacrifice. For me, that was something that was very sweet. Very sweet. So sacrifice, you see, is on one part. For you, it may be sacrifice meeting someone else's need. On the other side, it's something that's very pleasing and it's very acceptable in God's sight. So it's two things that are put together, sacrifice and well-pleasing. Let me give you a thought here. Now he says 250 parts of this, okay? And he said, you're going to have bitter experiences. You're going to have twice as much bitterness experiences as you are, you know, as making sacrificial giving. The interesting thing about God is God has a tremendous way of balancing all these things together. You see, God is not going to just say, well, you ought to sacrifice your whole life. No, that's not the way it is, because there's times when you have needs and somebody sacrifices to you and it meets the thing and it becomes well-pleasing in God's sight and it meets your need, okay? God brings balance when he puts all of these things together. It's blended together, okay? Blended together. So there's sacrifice and well-pleasing that comes because of it. Number three, the fragrant cane or calamus.
You find you've got 250 shekels of this again, okay? This is talking about to contract or bend the body or neck in deference. It's talking about your submission and worship. Submission and worship. Psalms 95, verses 1 through 6. Psalms 95, 1 through 6. Psalms 95 says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depth places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And then he says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Now, we started with bitter experiences, something that's bitter that we go through. Now, we've also, the second thing we've looked at, where there's an area where we are sacrificing and it's goodness to others. Now, he comes and he says this, Cassia, I jumped one, it's all right. In this formula is the idea of worship. What happens when you worship the Lord? It touches you. He touches you with his presence. When God touches you with his presence, you know what? It doesn't make any difference what you go through. It doesn't make any difference how hard things are. It doesn't make any things because the presence of God makes you willing. It makes you willing. I was in a meeting the other day and I had a favorite ring that I was wearing. That was a mistake. A very expensive ring, too. And God says, well, you're going to give that ring to the pastor today. I says, wait a minute. I know none of you say things like that, but, you know, I talk to him now and then. And so I did that. I gave it to him. And we were obedient to the Lord. Judy and I were obedient to the Lord and given that. We did not know that he and his wife were praying something very particular, and that ring was the very answer that God was giving them for what they were looking for. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing, all right? God knows what he's doing. So, you can sacrifice, you can have bitter experience, but worship is part of that. The one we looked at here, the fragrant cane, okay? The fragrant cane, it's talking about inability or helplessness. And the fragrant cane is really a reed. It's weakness. God uses your weaknesses in this whole formula with the anointing, because your weaknesses demand that you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So God uses your weaknesses as part of this formula. Let's ask the question, does anyone in here have a weakness? I have one. She's sitting on the front row. I'm trying to score points with my wife today. We all have weaknesses. Every one of us have weaknesses. That is not a bad thing. God created it that way. Okay? God created it that way. So we have bitter experiences, things that we go through that mold us and shape us. We have things that we sacrifice, and in our sacrifice, they are something that meets the person's need on the other side. We have inabilities and helplessnesses that we go through, weaknesses that we have, and we combine all of that together with worship, okay? And the interesting thing, again, now he comes back with this thing of Cassia with submission and worship. You get double portion on that. So you get double portion on the bitterness, but you get double portion in the worship or the presence of God. God blends it together. God blends it together. God blends it together. If you're in a season where you feel like things are going bad, listen, it's a season. It's a season. In God, we have different seasons that we go through. There was a season we pastored a church. That felt like a long season. And now we're getting to do a little travel now. This season's getting longer every day. Hallelujah. All right? But it's a season that we go through. And so one of the things I want to say to us here is, listen, God does not do anything that he wastes in your life is a purpose for everything he does in your life. We, on the other hand, we must embrace what God is doing in our life, accept what God is doing in our life, and realize he is doing something. Sometimes I don't understand. Just because I don't understand doesn't mean that he's not busy doing something in my life, and I need to maintain good attitudes in it, okay? And he brings all of these things together. He blends them all together, and he is developing us. And it is all part of this flow of the anointing that is to come forth from our life. If you are grumpy and if you are upset, it is hard to flow in the anointing of God and be blessing people. I bless you in Jesus' name. You come up to somebody you don't like, I just want to hurt you in Jesus' name. If I could get my hands around your neck, I just really, really would stretch you and help you. Hallelujah. You can't minister that way. Can you? How many of you really love it when you're really grumpy and things are going bad and then you have to minister? Anybody do those kind of things? God is funny. You know, he takes you through the stuff and you say to yourself, boy, thank God I don't have to do anything. And the phone rings. And Pastor Rick or Marilee or somebody says, guess what? No, I don't want to hear it. That's what you're really saying. I don't want to hear it, but anyway, here it comes. And you know, it's amazing how you have to get your attitude together so quick. It's like the gal that's hollering at the kids in the house, you know. Johnny, would you quit making so much noise? And you kids, you carrying on, and what are you doing? And you're driving me nuts. And then the phone rings. Hello. But nobody here does that kind of thing, right? I knew I was in the right place. Hallelujah. All right. So that's kind of the formula now. You see that we find that the Word of God gives us, and it's really the making of us. Don't waste your bitter experiences. Don't waste your opportunities to sacrifice. Don't waste the recognition that I don't have it all and I have a little bit of weakness here. Don't waste those things. They are necessary. They are necessary, okay? They are necessary. And those things are all connected with the oil. They're connected with that anointing. God is working. God is building. God wants a greater experience of the anointing to flow through our lives. Can you say amen to that? You see, and so his process of doing that, sometimes, you know, it's not easy. But that's why we're here together, because you know what? The Bible says we need to encourage one another. Encourage one another. It's no shame to go to somebody and say, I'm having a hard time. It's no shame to go to somebody and say, pray for me. There's no shame in those things, because the Bible has many, many different scriptures about one another. You know, edify one another. Build one another up. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Receive one another. You know, why don't you come on up here for a second. He's having a bad day. Look at him. You can just tell he's having a bad day. Okay. Just because somebody has a bad day, the Bible says we receive one another. Now, here's what it means. When it uses the word receive, when you receive something, it means you open your heart to receive, right? Okay. So he's having a hard day. Does that mean that I shun away from him? Does that mean, man, you know, he's bad today. I don't want nothing to do with him. No, no, no. When it says receive one another, this is what it means. We open our arms and we expose our heart. We run to our brother and we throw our arms around him and we receive him. We receive him, thanks. He got off easy. I'll find somebody else for something else. All right. Receive one another. You see, And so what are we doing? We're encouraging one another, building one another, and this whole process of the flow of God and the anointing that he wants to come forth from us, it's going to be enlarged. It's going to be increased. The anointing can be increased. All you need to do is read David's life. Anointed here once, anointed here twice, anointed here three. And listen, the anointing is not a feel-good item. The anointing is something to put you to work. I was preaching in a church once. I got invited to preach in this church, and they were having a move of God, and renewal was going on. And so he says, want me to preach? I says, fine. So I got up, and I was preaching on the tabernacle of David's tabernacle, because I felt that's what needed to be preached. Half the church got up, walked out of the meeting, went to the back room, and rolled around on the floor, screaming, shouting, carrying on, doing all kinds of things, okay? Listen, there's order in the anointing, okay? Order in the anointing. And we'll leave it at that. All right, let's go on here. Let's go on. And let's go to Exodus chapter 29, verse 7. Exodus 29, verse 7. We'll read a couple of scriptures here. Exodus 29, verse 7. Says, thou shalt take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Exodus chapter 30, verse 30. Exodus 30, verse 30. He says, and thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So here we have Aaron, we have his sons, and now this anointing, this compound that's been put together, it's going to be poured upon these priests, Aaron the high priest and his sons. Now let's give you some definitions of the word anointing here and look at some of this. First of all, in anointing, it's a consecratory gift, okay? It's a consecrated portion. It's used to consecrate. So when we talk about consecration, it means to declare or set apart as sacred. So when they were anointed or they poured the oil upon them, they were set apart, okay? They were set apart as sacred. And we'll get into it in the New Testament. But as we look at this, the anointing, when we are anointed, and we'll look at when that takes place, how that takes place, and all the rest of that. But when they were anointed, they were set apart. They were declared and set apart as sacred. Today, you are set apart by the anointing. You are set apart by God for a divine purpose. You are not an accident going to happen. You are individuals. I am a person that God has saved. He has called us. He's brought us together. Amen. For a divine purpose. Okay? A divine purpose. It also means to dedicate solemnly to a service or a goal. To dedicate to a service or a goal. When I think about him anointing the priest, the high priest Aaron, and when you read the scriptures, all of the responsibility of this high priest and what he did, he had to go in once a year for all the sins of the nation. And they constantly had to minister in the tabernacle, offering sacrifices, dealing with men's sin. They were set aside for a service or a goal. You are set aside by God for a service and a goal. You are set aside by God for a service and a goal. The enemy will come along and tell you you're not good for anything. And who do you think you are? He will work at trying to tear down anything that you would find yourself dedicating yourself to. It means dedicated to a sacred purpose. We are dedicated to God's work. God's work is sitting right in this building. God's work is sitting right in this building. God is in the people business. Come on, say amen. Amen. God is in the people business. You see? How many of you dreamed you'd be sitting in this chair that you're sitting in today? So where did you all come from? I'll tell you where you came from. We all came from the same place. It's called the slave market of sin. In the slave market of sin, we were under the dominion of the devil. He owned our life, lock, stock, and barrel. Something happened over here called Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, and when he shed his blood, he come over to the devil, and he says, my blood has been shed, and I'm buying that person out of your market. Here's the blood. They're free. You were free, and you came out of the kingdom of darkness. You came into the kingdom of God, and then here you are. Amen. Life has just begun. Come on. Your purpose has just begun. The day you got saved, that's when your purpose just began. That's when the things began to take place. And so consequently, Jesus has given us an answer. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Okay? Can you say amen? All right. So he's dedicated you to a sacred purpose. Dedicated you to a sacred purpose. All right? It means to set apart as holy. To declare sacred for religious use, to devote entirely, dedicate. Now, something else he says here, it uses in Exodus chapter 30, verse 29, he talks about it will sanctify them. It will pronounce you or as clean. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ cleans you up. He doesn't leave any sin anywhere. There are no dark corners. There is nothing under the carpet. It's all been cleaned. It's all been washed away. Hallelujah. Okay. Then he says that you will minister, all right, mediate in religious services, to officiate as a priest, to put on the regalia, an acting priest, a layman. When I read the book of Revelation, it seems to me that the Bible says we're made unto God kings and priests unto our God. We have ministry to do. Ministry to do. We have a dedicated purpose that God has given us. You're not here by accident. You know, this morning, as we're standing here and we're singing, what we were really doing, it was a bunch of priests ministering to God. We think of it, well, we're just singing. We're just standing here. No, we're not. We're priests ministering unto God. You're offering God sacrifices. How many of you here were sacrificing this morning? In other words, you know, you're just a little bit sour. And the praise, you took a little bit to adjust yourself to get in it. There was a sacrifice of praise. That's not bad. That's adjusting, getting yourself and doing it. You have your priestly ministry, all right? Priestly ministry. Did you know that you had your priestly robes on when you were ministering this morning? Huh? Isaiah 61, verse 10, the garments of salvation. There's 15 of them. You have the robe of righteousness. You were dressed in your religious garb this morning. You couldn't see it this morning, but there was a whole bunch of priests up here just ministering to the Lord. And what's amazing is the Holy Spirit came on you. There was an anointing that came on you. Amen. And it assisted you as you were worshiping Jesus. Can you say amen this morning? All right. It's 1 o'clock. All right. Hour two. Here we go. Point number two. I'm not going to keep you longer. I'm just going to rehearse. There was a combination of things. Bitter experiences, worship, sacrifice, weakness. God brings that all together. The Holy Spirit brings it all together. Amen. And there can come a flow from your life, a sweetness from your life as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, as you worship Him. Okay? All right. Don't waste your situations. Don't waste you're not wasting anything. God is not wasting his time with you. Your difficult situations are there by the divine appointment of God. Amen. Because he wants to take and make us and build us and change us, wash us, make us pure and holy, which he does with his anointing, that we can minister the things of God. Can you say amen this morning? All right, I'm going to share one last scripture with you, and we're going to dismiss. There's a scripture that says, it says this, get the shield out and anoint the shield afresh. What is the shield? Well, if you go to Ephesians, there's talks about you know, being dressed with, you got the, your feet shod with the preparation. It talks about the shield of faith. And the shield would be made of leather. And the leather would dry up. And so when they would go to battle, they would anoint the shield afresh with fresh oil. Okay? That would make the leather so that when an arrow would hit it or something like that, it would be pliable and would not penetrate and get through to the one holding the shield. And I just, this morning I was just kind of waiting on God, and I feel like God wants us to anoint our shield afresh. Anoint our shield afresh, okay? And how does God pour out fresh anointing? I will be anointed with fresh oil. I will be anointed with fresh oil. How does God do that? How, you see, it's one thing to make spiritual, great spiritual statements. It's another thing to bring it down to practicality is how it works. Okay? How does that happen? Well, this morning, what am I doing this morning? I'm sharing with you the Word of God. I'm sharing with you the Word of God. When the Word of God comes, it comes in the form of grace for you to begin to apply and to walk in it. And when God gives you a word, He then gives you the grace and He gives you the spirit or the ability to walk in the word and to do the word of God. And so there's a fresh anointing that comes upon the word, amen, to minister to our lives and to equip us so that we can do it. God is pouring fresh oil on you this morning, amen, fresh oil on you this morning, and specifically that shield of faith. How many of you are having your faith challenged? Anybody? Everybody that has got your faith challenged, stand up. Stand up. The very fact that you're standing, it means that what I'm saying is God is trying to say something to us. So He wants to have us to have a fresh anointing, amen, amen, where the enemy would come in and he'd throw fiery darts at us. He would try to strike against us. Our faith needs to be, amen, enlarged and quickened. Listen, our God can do anything. Somebody say something positive about God. Just anybody. He's awesome. Excellent. Someone else. He's mighty. Good. Someone else. He's what? He's worthy. Excellent. Can God do anything?
Yes.
The Bible says, I can do what? All things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Someone else, give me something else about our God. God is limitless. Excellent. Someone else. God is powerful. Amen. God is powerful. Something else? Huh? God is merciful. Amen. The riches of God's mercy, the riches of God's grace. What are we doing this morning? We are making declarations of who our God is. And what are we doing? We're hearing with our ears. Our God is good. Our God is merciful. Our God, if God be for me, who can be against me? What are we doing? We are stirring ourselves up. Hallelujah. Fresh oil to be poured upon us this morning. Fresh oil to be poured upon us this morning. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and shout to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, mighty God, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, in this generation that we're in, and as we look at the news and as we look at our world, things are in confusion. There's mass murders. There's all kinds of thievery. There's all kinds of bribing. There's all kinds of injustice. There's all kinds of things that gets dumped upon us. Listen, we need to have a fresh anointing today. God is going to pour out upon us today. Amen. And quicken us and challenge us today that He is great and He is sitting on the throne and He does have things in control. He is the mighty God and you are bought with a price. You are not your own. You have a purpose. You have a purpose. You are victorious. He is the mighty God. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I want somebody to come and stand right next to me and prophesy with me. Come on. Who has it? God has something to say to us prophetically. Come on.
prophesy. But just let it go.
I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Yes.
I am the Lord thy God.
Yes.
I am that I am.
Yes.
I am the beginning and I am the end.
Yes.
Fear not.
Yes.
Fear not. Mm. For I am the Lord thy God. Mm. And I will take you through.
Yes.
And you will be victorious.
Yes.
And that which you face, I am greater than it.
Yes.
So look unto me, not to the north, nor to the south, nor to the east, nor to the west.
Yes.
Be not conformed to the things of this world.
Yes.
But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes. Amen. All right, let's.
That which you worship, bow. Do not bow to it anymore, for I am the Lord.
Mm.
Some of you are bowing to things that are not pleasing and not in my will for you. It may be some addiction of some kind, but it is sin, and God wants to release you from that so that you can receive from him the power of his anointing. The power that can transform your life.
Amen. All right, let's just lift our hands. Father, we hear the word this morning. We hear the word, Lord, you're God. Hallelujah. You're out to do us good. And Lord, there are things, Lord, that maybe we, some of us are holding dear in our hearts, Lord, and they come in the way. So Lord, this morning, if that's you, this morning we come to the blood of the Lamb to be washed. We come to the God of the universe to be changed today. Lord, wash us, cleanse us, forgive us, move us through these things, Lord, so that we can move forward in the things of God. Come on, say amen, church.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we know that you're a loving Father. And God, you love us so much, you don't want us to stay the same. You want us to be like you. You're holy. You're perfect. You're righteous. Oh, mighty God. So, Lord, this morning, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, God, that you reach in and want to touch us and cause us to be victorious in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be. Why don't you go and hug about three necks, all right? Amen. Amen. Come on, go hug about three necks.